When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome in. This is Old School on 93.7 The Ticket, as well as theticketfm.com. Streaming live worldwide on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, as well as here in the 402, the 308-531, wherever you are. Allo Channel 961. If you're an Allo subscriber, flip your TV to Channel 961. You're watching our live streams right there in your living room. I'm Austin Norman. We are joined on our Allo Fiber VIP line. Same Allo that sponsors Channel 961, where they understand the importance of exceptional service with local heart, by Jay Foreman on the road in Indy. Jay, how is your favorite AFC South town?
Oh, Austin, why would you start a conversation off like that, my brother?
Here, let me try again. We welcome in Jay Foreman in Indianapolis. I am wearing my Colts hat today, Jay. How is that?
Yeah, that's great. You know, I would tell you, I had great times in Indy. One, I did pretty good at the combine. Number two, when early in my career in Buffalo, we used to destroy Indy. Mm. And then when I was in H-Town, it didn't work out too well. But everything's all to the good, man. You know, it's on my flight, you know, Rhett Lewis was on there from the Big Ten, so it was always good to see some familiar faces. And they got a lot of stuff going on, like always.
So, Jay, we know that Houston is at the top of your AFC South cities list, and we know Jacksonville is at the bottom. Which is better, Indy or Nashville?
Oh, that's hard, man. I think Indy on the sneak is a great town. I think it is. I just don't know it as well as – I don't even know Nashville, but I know Nashville is pretty sweet. I guess I'll just do Nashville because – it's the new hot spot, but Indy is not to be, like they used to say back in the day, trifled with.
I feel you. So you made it to Indy. Flight was all good. How you doing getting settled out there? Anyone else from the ticket make it out yet?
No, I don't know where they're at, man. Who knows, man? They just show up. I don't think so, but, it's a calm before the storm, man. It's 2 or 3 days of, a lot of radio, and it's going to be, like I said, you knew the team from before, but then also you're going to see the new players and, Oregon coming in, which, they're going to be probably, preseason top five, worst six. So let's see how they move. It'd be interesting to see, size up some of their players versus, our players, or I guess, this or what you would think and see what they can do. And also see what Washington's doing, and then obviously USC and UCLA. It's crazy, when you think about it, right? Was it 2 or 3 years ago, Lincoln Riley was like, he's got the number one player, in the draft, obviously Caleb Williams and a host of other players. It's a matter of time before he, possibly could have, took the Arizona Cardinals job. If you read, between the lines and listen to Paul Finbaum or anything like that, it's just like a matter of time before homeboy is looking for another job, and he's at a blue blood university with a bunch of talent, and the confidence that is lost in that program is going to be interesting to see how they are, in a new arena, which is Big Ten Media Day.
It's going to be interesting to watch how that unfolds, Jay, because we've seen guys leave USC and be successful head coaches otherwhere, right? Your boy Lane, right, had his fallout at USC and Tennessee before he grew into the Ole Miss job. Sarkisian at USC, had his own bumps in the road. Now he's got Texas up and going. I'd be curious to see if USC does let Lincoln Riley go. If it turns out that Lincoln Riley and his playing style and his coaching style were the problem, or if it's dysfunction at USC, something behind the scenes that's holding that program back more than any one head coach.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, look, you can say what you want about Lane Kiffin when he was there, how they handled it and fired him on the tarmac. That's Bush League, right? Mm-hmm. You should be such a blue blood program that you don't handle your business that way. And then, you know, with Clay Helton and, you know, even Ed Orgeron and all that, you know, it just hasn't been good. And it's a lot of some big players, you know, as far as in their athletic department and boosters. I thought they had that, like, kind of rectified because it was a united front that they went and got Lincoln Riley. It was kind of like when we hired Scott Frost. It was like, we have to hire him, you know. And obviously they were covert in how they went and got him. But it's going to be interesting in the fallout of where it went wrong, how it went wrong, you know, whether it was, you know, not holding Lincoln Riley accountable to hiring a better defensive coordinator from the get-go. We went through that a little bit, you know, in Nebraska many moons ago with Bill Callahan and so forth and so on. Or was it a style of play that wasn't actually, you know, I guess in good connection with bringing USC back to national prominence? Because, look, one thing that's always going to happen, USC is always going to have speed. They're always going to most likely have a quarterback, and they're generally going to have some speed on defense. So how does USC get back into being a dominant team in the Pac, you know, or the old Pac-12 and obviously the new Big Ten, is you got to start winning the line of scrimmage. And so was it glossed over because Oklahoma had a lot of players, you know, offensive linemen, you know, drafted? Like, okay, he's developing offensive linemen. Well, on the flip side, you got to have a good defensive line, and it just hasn't worked his way out. Now, supposedly he's rectified it, or not rectified it, but addressed it. And, you know, we'll see very soon.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
Shortly, because it's all going to be how they approach not only, you know, the accolades, but some of the criticism, and also, Austin, how he and that team deals with adversity, which could come very early in the Big Ten season. Is going to probably, you know, be the tell-all sign of will it continue or have a chance to get better, or will the plug possibly be pulled sooner than later?
We'll definitely have to see, because I could see it going, you know, surprisingly well or off the rails. Strick and I were having a conversation about Oregon before, and I want your thoughts on it. Who is better prepared to make the jump to a new league? Is it Oregon to the Big Ten, or is it Texas to the SEC? I said Texas because I think they have that sort of arrogance and swagger about them, Sarkisian having been at an SEC program. I feel like Texas has been building to an SEC jump for a while, where I feel like Oregon is still kind of an SEC wannabe, and they're joining the Big Ten. It's not Lanning's roots in the SEC. And Texas is used to criticism, to media, and to attention to a degree that, yeah, we talk about Oregon, but not like we do Texas. So even if they're comparable teams, I still think Texas is slightly better prepared for the jump to the SEC than Oregon is to the Big Ten.
Ooh, that's a hard one, because I would argue with you, or make a point, that Oregon has more recent SEC type of football, you know, like track record, right?
Okay.
I think Texas has, and I can't even say it this year, but I think Texas, everybody thinks that Texas might be SEC ready because of Stark as their coach, but then also they went down and beat Bama.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I guess I would probably say, to be honest with you, Oregon, because they've done it before. Also, Texas, we remember when your boy said they're back, they always let you down.
Hey, don't forget Sam Ellinger also ended up on the Colts, so maybe he should come to Indy just – just for fun, for kicks and gigs, and tie a knot, build a bridge, whatever it is. The other two Pac-12 teams here, real quick, Jay, we'll go to break, and then the preseason poll from Cleveland.com came out. I want your thoughts on it next segment. But Washington and UCLA, what's more likely, that Washington underachieves preseason expectations or that UCLA overachieves them?
Ooh, I would probably say the easy thing, Washington underachieves. I mean, they both have new coaches. It's going to be hard for UCLA to overachieve because I don't think, I mean, for what we've been told, their talent isn't there. The when Chip Kelly left, right, it wasn't a normal, resign and be an offensive coordinator. It was late in the process. Washington lost a lot of players to the draft, and, you know, they're probably living off that last season hype.
They definitely are, and Jed Fish, you know, is at least proven at the Power 5 level as a head coach. He's got that over Foster. But, Jay, this is where I'm not trying to say UCLA is going to be good or not going to be great. I think UCLA can make a bowl game. The schedule's not terrible. They have the quarterback returning, and they have a top 5 receiver in the Big Ten in Sturdivant who's there. It's at least something, right? I mean, it's not a lot, but I feel like Washington is going to come in with more hype than it probably deserves. And I know people are being pretty realistic about, oh, it's going to be a big rebuilding year and everything going on there. But I just think back to last year with Northwestern, the way that program, I mean, it got shook even more than UCLA did. I mean, deeper to its core than UCLA did. I'm not going to say UCLA is going to, you know, challenge for a Rose Bowl, but
right.
I'm burned by being so low on Northwestern last year. I think UCLA is just going to be, you know, regular bad 4-8, not like 2-10 bad.
No, I don't think they'll be 2-10 bad. I think they'll be competitive. I will say this. It'll be interesting to see. It'll be great to see Eric Bieniemy. I think he's going to pay huge dividends for Deshaun Foster. He's an L.A. kid. He's invested. I think he's going to be a sneaky good hire for UCLA. And also, let's not forget, Austin, they had a dang good defense last year, and they bring a lot of guys back. So, when I think Deshaun Foster is going to try to lean on that defense, try to be as creative as they can with being efficient on offense, and just try to be disciplined, and they'll pull out a game. I'm going to tell you what, if things are kind of going shaky over there in Trojan, you know, what they call Tinseltown or whatever, where USC is at, look for UCLA to upset them. I'm telling you. And if they do it, Deshaun Foster will make waves in recruiting because he can recruit, right? He's younger. He's obviously a UCLA guy. I think they're bringing some more money for NIL or whatever. And they'll start to get on the right track. But this is a huge year for him. But I agree with you. I think they can make a bowl game. But I think 6 wins is probably their ceiling. We were burnt last year from Northwestern because I didn't think they would win a game considering what happened. And obviously they were probably the best story in college football last year.
Hey, you mentioned that UCLA defense. If you see my boy Latu walking around the streets of Indy, I'll slide you a couple bucks for an autograph. Deal?
Deal. If I see him, yeah, I'll say that, you know, if you were really that dude, Houston would have drafted you. But no, I will tell you this, Austin. Everything that you read about him from, like, you know, mini camps and stuff, he's the real deal. And plus, he has a great story, too. Was told to retire from, medically retire. He got a second opinion, and he ends up being a first-round pick and a legitimate stalwart in that pass rush, like, 8-deep defensive line that the Colts are going to run out there this year.
I'm excited to watch it. Also excited for what you guys to bring in from Big Ten Media Days. You got another segment to stick around?
I sure do.
Perfect. We'll be back here in just a minute then. Jay Foreman on our Aloe Fiber VIP line. The Big Ten's preseason poll from Cleveland.com. Brett McMurphy tweeted it out if you want to get prepared. We'll be right back. Talk through that with Jay Foreman next here on Old School.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.